Hello and welcome to today's episode of Three Scarves Gaming. Today we are introducing a two-part special, and today we're going to be recording part one of the special. You'll find out more about what we did and why we're recording this after a word from our sponsor.
Hello, hello, welcome back. My name is Evan.
My name's Jeremy.
And my name is Eric.
And today we're going to be talking about Terraria.
Yes.
Yes. That is, in fact, our topic today.
Yeah, okay.
Well, by the way, welcome to Three Scarves Gaming. We talk about games.
Yeah, if you haven't listened to us before, or if this is your first time listening, we are Three Scarves Gaming. We normally talk about gaming, if it wasn't clear from our name.
Yes.
But today, we are recording a special episode because a couple of weeks ago, actually
we
not a
couple. We started playing Terraria.
Not a couple of weeks ago. Like
actually, wait.
Like
when
1 week ago.
A week ago?
I don't think it was a week ago.
A week and a half?
Wait.
I mean, it's Friday.
Like, brain hurt.
On Tuesdays.
A week ago.
A week and a half.
A week and a half.
Yeah. Oh, is it? Yeah.
We started on like Saturday.
Definitely. Okay. Week and a half.
A week and a half ago.
Yes, that.
Your three hosts of Three Scarves Gaming started a run-through of Terraria on Expert Mode. And we decided, hey, this sounds like it could be good content for us. And, you know, seeing as how I still haven't come up with any ideas for the next episode, we're talking about Terraria today. So, Jeremy, you made the world. Why did you invite us to play Terraria with you?
It's gonna be fun, and well, like what we covered in a previous video, Terraria, previous podcast, basically Terraria is like this experience for any type amount of players, and it's overall just a survival experience where you progress to become powerful.
Very nice. Okay. So let's just recount this day by day, I guess. Right. Okay. So. I don't know, from the best of my memory, we can each like take a day and we'll rotate. Or from the best of my memory, the first day we started playing, Evan still hadn't joined us yet.
Because he was very busy.
Yes.
Sleeping, yes.
Sleeping.
Why were you sleeping at late until like 4 o'clock in the noon?
Excuse me, my sleep schedule is not an issue here.
Okay.
But yeah, so it's like the first day, Jeremy and I started, Evan hadn't joined us yet, but we, you know, did the basic things, right? We built NPC houses.
We started mining.
We started mining for basic stuff.
We proceeded to die too many times, like any first experience in expert mode.
Yeah, we deforested the entire world.
Not really. We only deforested like our spawning area.
The entire world. We deforested a lot.
I mean, by the time I joined, they had gotten more done during their maybe couple of hours in the world than I had ever gotten done in all of my hours playing Terraria.
Okay,
it's okay. So, I didn't really do anything. Jeremy
sort of
did everything.
I think somewhere on the second day, I think Evan joined, or somewhere later. I think Evan, like, joined. And then we started to, like, set up our, like, class distinctions. Basically, Terraria has a class system where different types of damage dealt, like melee, ranger, fits into like a class where like they each class specializes in that type of damage. For example, throughout this playthrough, we set that Eric is going to be a melee user,
yes.
A tank that can't deal that much damage unless he's super close.
What do you mean I can't do that much damage?
I mean, up until you're up close, then you deal too much. Then you deal like a lot of damage.
I think what we found out from our run through so far is I'm bad at taking damage and I'm bad at dealing damage.
Maybe I should have given you Ranger.
It's okay.
What else? I chose myself as Ranger, where I have a feeble weak body, but at the same time, I deal a lot of damage.
He shoot gun.
I shoot gun and bow.
Yes, that.
And Evan, why don't you introduce your class?
I am a mage?
Or sorcerer.
A sorcerer, a wizard,
mage,
something
mage,
like that.
Mage, it's mage.
Yeah, since he was melee and he was a ranger, I mean, I wasn't going to be a summoner, so, you know, mage.
I think, actually, summoners are supposed to be more tanky than the melee class.
Not really.
Well, no.
They're going to be somewhat same as a mage, but,
No, wait, because, think about it, right? A mage has the ability to deal damage, but a summoner, he can only rely on his minions to fight for him, so he has to be able to take damage.
Actually, it doesn't really work that. The mage is going to be more aggressive because he's going to be in the action fighting. Meanwhile, the summoner has to be simply Think of it as like a bullet hell. You're playing more of a bullet hell game with Summoner because you're dodging everything instead of like dealing damage.
You should still be able to take hits.
So
yeah, though Summoner armors have the least defense, yeah. I think, or was it Mage? I don't know, but they both have very low defense.
So you don't necessarily have to be tanky to be a Summoner. You just need to be very good at running away.
And not get touching very scary late things.
Yeah, Evan is sort of dual classing as our summoner mage person.
Yeah, that's what usually happens with players because they're both really good at like dealing damage in terms of summoning and
magic. Yeah, and then
as it turns out, magic is really hard to aim, but that's fine.
Just pretend you're like magic one is actually a gun. You go pew and pew and pew.
All right. And so what about day three, Evan?
So day three. When was day three?
Day three was like, I forgot. Can we just recount the significant stuff?
I think going day by day is not good. Third day, we finally fought our first boss. Oh my God, we kept on dying.
No, we didn't fight it that early.
We
sped run the bosses. Like, we spent like the first few days just like gearing up. And then we fought Eye of Cthulhu, Skeletron, and King Slime within like 2 days of each other, which was pretty insane.
Nice. And also, didn't I mention that we have too many graves in like our world now because we all kept on dying? We are very good at that.
They're decorations, all right.
They are sort of like, yeah, they're basically decorations. I remember the wildest thing, I think, that happened so far during our playthrough I had an event like prior to this. Okay, I'll remember it sometime in time. What about you two? What, any wild things that you guys
thought? God. Every time we fought a boss, I just like see one of you like that. Oh no. Because like the more players that die, the harder the boss gets because the boss health scales how many players they are.
Yeah.
So the more players, the more health.
Yeah.
Now, if all of them are dead except for you, how are you going to do? You're probably going to get
run away. Oh, what was the boss that we fought? The twins? Remember we took the twins down without Evan?
Wait a second. That's hard mode. We can't talk about that.
Oh, wait. Yeah.
Ignore that. We're supposed to save that for a second.
We're covering pre-hard mode today, right?
Let's talk about Wall of Flesh.
Let's not go there yet, because I feel like we should recount some stuff beforehand. So, in Terraria, right? In order to make this an actual podcast episode and not just, like, a let's play of the game, but without the video, and it's just, like, you know, commentating in hindsight, you know? Let's make this, like, an actual, like, analysis video.
Analysis time.
Yes, we are going to analyze Terraria mechanics and, you know, how we either exploited them, didn't take advantage of them, or didn't realize that we could do something, you know, until after we died multiple times.
You mind if I start off?
All right, yeah, go ahead.
Apparently, there's a glitch in Terraria called an invincibility engine, where you use two test dummies and a few blocks to literally make yourself not deal damage if you're on a slime mount. The problem is, that was pretty much cheating. I don't want to do that. I mean, it's more fun to, like,
we didn't
die.
Use that, but, like, I feel like the first few bosses with such, like, bad gear, or not really bad gear, the first few bosses I feel like were easier than I thought they would be. Because it's like, this is expert mode, right?
Yeah.
It's like, have you played an expert mode before, Evan?
Yeah, the person who started me, introduced me to Terraria, right? He started me on an expert mode world, and he made us create medium core characters. And we fought the Eye of Cthulhu with, like, iron armor and, like, the 5 gold gun from the gunsmith. And we didn't have speed boots either, so we just ran for our lives.
Yeah. We prepared a lot more than that.
Yeah.
Yeah, we had, like, gold armor.
Did we have tungsten or gold?
I think it was both.
Yeah, you had gold and we both had tungsten.
Yeah, and then we had, like, a mini shark.
Yeah, we had a mini shark.
And you had a yo-yo.
We were, like, you're never over-geared for anything in expert mode. Because how many times did we take on the eye before we killed it? Like, 2 or 3 times?
I think it took, like, 2 tries.
2 tries? Okay, yeah. About 2 tries. Yeah, and then it was just like, we were like, oh yeah, you know, Eye of Cthulhu is easy. Yeah. So let's move on to Destroyer.
I'm starting to see a trend here. We always suck on the first fight. On the second fight, we completely destroy them.
Yeah, so it was like, I think in expert mode, the utmost mechanic when fighting bosses is running away.
I wouldn't say running away. It was more like, dodge this guy, do not let him give you the bad touch or you will die.
So you're running away from the attacks while simultaneously running towards the boss.
Yes. You have to do that to deal damage.
What in the world?
Yeah.
When did we get grappling hooks?
Before I, right?
I think the moment I joined the game, like, one of you gave me a grappling hook from the jungle.
Oh, right, the Ivy Whip.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, I think so one thing that, I think, wait, I just think one thing that, like, sort of screwed up our, like, the intended progression was we went to the jungle and got ourselves, like, end of pre-hard mode jungle stuff before the first boss.
I mean, it's pretty easy to go to the jungle.
Well, I mean,
if you know what you're doing.
I suppose.
Let's just say I have way too many hours into the game, so I know how to, like, get around against, like, certain enemies, like, early in the game.
I see.
I mean, technically, we're supposed to use, like, regular default gear, but, it didn't really work out.
Yeah, I think that, I don't know, one of the biggest things was that since this is expert mode, we were all just, like, we're going to get the best gear possible in pre-hard mode.
Mostly because you guys are also new to the game as well.
Yeah, I haven't touched this game. Before he invited me, I hadn't touched the game in, like, months. Like, maybe a year, actually. An entire year. What about you?
Yeah, it's been months since I've touched Terraria. Well, not since I've touched Terraria, but before I joined the world, it's, like, it's been a while.
It was a while? I don't know. I just feel like Terraria wasn't very appealing to me beforehand, because it was just, like, I didn't get the point. I was like, bosses, progression, what am I supposed to do? I know that, like, normal mineral swords aren't good, but, like, what do I craft then? And it was just confusing.
Yeah. That kind of gets into, like, the difficulty of Terraria. It's like, what should I do to progress?
Yeah.
Because a lot of main components of progressing is preparing. Preparation will instantly guarantee you, like, more progress throughout the game. Pre-hard mode, you have to build arenas to, like, start dodging, like, projectiles, move around the boss, and then you need to go, like, and then introduces, like, a tiny bit of farming where you have to kill enemies to find, like, rare weapons.
Right.
That aren't compared to, like, craftable weapons later in the game, but they will give you that, like, extra oomph you need to, like, beat a boss.
It gives you that edge, huh?
Like, for example, I know for a fact we fought Eye Cthulhu. I think you found before that. It was a white yo-yo.
A white yo-yo? I don't think I ever had a white yo-yo. I think the first yo-yo that I had was the Amazon.
The yo-yo
No, it was wooden, then something else, and then Amazon. Anyway.
Do you remember what biome it was from?
It was from, like, cave enemy.
Oh, it was from a cave enemy? No, I have no idea.
I forgot. I don't remember the name of yo-yos, but I know for a fact, like, what drops what.
Yeah.
And, that yo-yo was by far, helpful in grabbing, like, the jungle items, jungle crafting materials for, like, the jungle weapons.
Oh, yeah. I think that one of the biggest mechanics that we exploited was, in jungle exploration, where it was, like, everything would basically one-shot us. So we just hid in a corner and used yo-yos to take out everything before.
Yeah, yo-yos are easy to exploit. There's one reason why they're best at, like, the best melee weapon besides swords. You can actually move, like, your weapon around in, like, any small gap. If you make a one block gap where most every single projectile cannot get through, you can basically just, like, make the yo-yo pop out and whack everything around you.
I see.
And you don't take any damage.
Yeah, I remember we used that. But Evan, so, like, mage weapons, right? They don't really get good up until you defeat, like, Destroyer, right?
No, Destroyer's hard mode.
Oh, wait, no, not the...
Eater of Worlds.
Skeletron? Not Destroyer.
Yeah, Skeletron. Yeah, mage only got stronger after Skeletron.
Yeah, so how did you cope with, like, the beginning of the game?
So when I started with the mage weapons, they were very, very slow is what I noticed at first. They weren't like bullets. I mean, bullets are bullets. Like, you know how fast a bullet is. So the mage weapons, they're really slow. So I guess I just kind of had to do a combination of spamming, running away, and also trying my best to lead my shots. Or maybe just like using the grappling hook to stick onto the ceiling and hopefully just shooting down.
Yeah.
Because the enemies are dumb enough to just sort of like go around your feet even when they can't get to you, just shoot down.
Yeah, but technically they want to like get above you. Like Skeletron, he's just like hovering over to, hey kids, wanna have some fun?
Skeletron is a floating boss. So it's like, when did you get the meteorite gun?
After Eater Worlds.
After Eater Worlds. So I remember you were there for like every boss, right? We were all there to fight every boss.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I remember we did Eye of Cthulhu pretty easily because his mini shark. I remember that we did Skeletron pretty easily as well because yo-yo powers. But then Eater of Worlds is the one that we died to the second most in pre-hard mode. We'll talk about the first most later. But we die to Eater of Worlds the second most times. So it's like, you know, do you think your magic weapons helped in that fight?
Well, Eater of Worlds was definitely, it was easier to hit than Eye of Cthulhu. Because the Eye of Cthulhu, it moves around. It's like, it's a pretty big boss, but it's really, it's kind of a small target for mage weapons, especially if they're really slow. So the Eater of Worlds was definitely just sort of, if you fire in its general direction, it will die sort of thing.
Right, and especially with the piercing, right?
Yeah, so it can hit multiple segments at once, and that was really helpful. What wasn't helpful was when it turned into smaller worms and it started jumping around.
Ah, yes, that.
Yes. But if you destroy one segment of the Eater Worlds, basically, it'll split itself.
Yeah, but that was basically me and Jeremy. We were a cleanup crew.
Yeah.
But, like, you took out most of the segments, which is really useful. Mm-hmm. And then everything changed when the Fire Nation attacked. Everything changed when a meteor landed, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, how did that basically, you know, completely change the mage loadout?
I got a space gun, and I got space armor.
Yeah.
And the gun, it's a gun, so it shoots significantly faster than, like, a tome or a wand. So I could just sort of stand to the side and start spamming attacks in the general direction. And it's much easier to hit, and it's much easier to spam, so that made things, well, in general, much easier.
Right, and then you didn't have to worry about mana use either, right?
Yeah. Because at that point, I don't think I had maxed out my mana yet. Before the gun, I was just sort of shooting and running away and waiting for my mana to regenerate, whereas now we could stay in the fight every single second.
Yeah, because meteor armor grants you, you know, you don't use mana when you fire the meteor gun.
Okay.
Yeah. Meteor armor on. And then, I think that's really interesting how, like, certain classes are stronger at certain points of the game. Like, Jeremy, you want to talk about Ranger? I know, After your mini shark became irrelevant when we got into like late pre-hard mode, but at the beginning of pre-hard mode, like at the beginning of the game,
you were
like our highest damage dealer. So
yeah.
Why do you think that you sort of like went down in power over, you know, pre-hard mode?
It's mostly because like the bosses got tougher. Cause by the time we reached Wall of Flesh, I had to make like a new ammo type in order to like start dealing a bit more damage.
Right.
And also, I was, like, shooting at the tanky part of the boss, but let's just ignore that for now.
Right.
Ranger is kind of heavily dependent on his ammo and weapons.
Right.
For example, Mini Shark, it has a good amount, it's good DPS, but it has very low damage.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, with a damage of 6 per shot, along with your bullet, basically, if I don't have tougher bullets against like a really tanky target, I will deal little to no damage.
Yeah, you're basically dealing no damage. So, you know, at the beginning of the game, you were our main damage dealer, right? So it's like you were shredding through everything. And then when do you think you started to realize that the Ranger was like slowly becoming less of a damage dealer and more of like a crowd control class?
Probably around, I don't know actually, because usually mobs go down easily with a few shots, but I would say late pre-hard mode.
I mean, like, in terms of, like, boss. Because it's, like, I think, I don't know. Because, like, Evan...
I would, in terms of Ranger, I would say the Eater of Worlds.
Right, that's when you sort of became a crowd control class instead of a...
Yeah, and along with, like, it's somewhat, partially true for, like, King Slime, because, every time you deal damage to King Slime, he drops spawns enemies. I had to like kill all those enemies first before I actually could have like gotten to the boss. Because if I don't kill those enemies, they're gonna get in my way of like dodging attacks.
Right. Yeah. So it's like, you know, Ranger and Mage. Those two sort of like, I don't know. In your own words, how would you say like their power levels? You know,
Mage
interact with the game.
I know, based on my experience, I know for a fact. In terms of like damage, mage definitely kicks everyone's butt.
I mean, like, do you feel that way for pre-hard
mode? From like pre-hard mode, it's kind of weak, but range.
But I mean, yeah. Well, like post-destroyer, post-skeletron, how did you feel about your damage output and stuff?
Let's see, what was I using post-skeletron? I don't think
I
was
think the... you were still using gold staff. And then after we got you the meteor gun, you basically used that and the jungle staff, whatever that was called.
Vine Dorn, I think?
Something like that.
I'm pretty sure that was a melee weapon, and I think
it was a magic weapon, but it was not made for, like, actually a weapon. It was not actually supposed to be a weapon. It was more supposed to be, like, a farming utility.
Its only use is increasing her herb drops and growing grass.
Yes.
So it's like, so you basically use meteor gun most of pre-hard mode, actually.
Yeah.
Pre-hell, actually.
Yeah, so to hell, I had to switch to something else for the wall of flesh.
And plus more magic drops in hell. But, like, you know, do you think that... I don't know. How was your usefulness, you know, after, you know, in terms of, like, progression?
Well, I feel like the thing about the mage is that even though it is just one class, the mage, it has a lot of a variety of weapons. You know, you have the kind of weapons where you have a high, a rate of magic bullet shooting.
Yeah,
but a low
rate of fire.
Yeah, high rate of fire, but you have a low damage per bullet. Or you have one of those wands where you can shoot one really high damage bullet, but it consumes a lot of mana per hit.
Right.
So it's really like I could really switch up my weapons for every situation, and that really helped in progressing through the game.
In terms of like classes, mage is by far the most versatile and can easily do the most damage in the right circumstances.
Right, especially since he's dual classing. Most mages dual class as summoner mage.
Same thing for like melee and ranger, but they both specialize in different areas.
Yeah.
For example, ranger like specializes in single targets.
Yeah, I was actually about to talk about melee, so it's like in terms of melee, I think we're not going to talk about pre-hell right now. I'm just going to talk about what was the final boss before hell?
Skeletron.
Oh, was Eater of Worlds before Skeletron?
Yes.
Okay, so it's like...
Actually, no, we fought Queen Bee, I forgot.
Oh, yes.
But that was after WoF, no?
Yes.
No,
yeah,
that was before.
That was after WoF.
No, that was before WoF.
Was it before WoF? Okay. No. But yeah, so it's like, I think that at the beginning of the game, I was just very weak. Like, I was good for, like, cheesing enemies in the jungle, but that was about it. I think that compared to both Ranger and Mage, compared to you two, I was doing, like, the least. My job was basically to, like, kite bosses, right?
Yeah.
I was supposed to kite bosses while the Mage and the Ranger fired at
them. Yeah, you had to kite with, like, longer range weapons, which is why we had, like, long... you did kite them, but you ended up like
they were
running towards you. You ran towards them, and overall, there was a collision, and ended up like you being beat up.
Yeah, but it was like I think that melee in the early game is very much a crowd control support class.
Definitely,
I think that in the early game, Ranger definitely takes the damage output, right?
Yeah,
and I think that melee. I'm just gonna like do like a progression thing like you guys did. So it's like early game. I think that melee was. Definitely a support class. No specialty, no real crowd control, no real, you know, damage output, and your tankiness is only so much with, like, basic iron armor and stuff. I think where things really changed for me was when we got the grass blade.
Yeah, that's when you actually deal a lot more damage, and thus, like, you can do better crowd control, single target control. So, the problem was, it was just, like, how you had to deal damage.
Yeah, so it was around Eater of Worlds, I think, is when melee really began to shine. Because I think in pre-hard mode, right, we can all agree, mage is the most versatile class, right? You can do both crowd control and damage, right? Ranger is the most, like, single target damage-oriented class in pre-hard mode, at least.
Yeah.
And then melee is, like, the pure crowd control class. Like, you're supposed to kite enemies, and you're supposed to get up close and hit lots of them at once and stuff. Any of your yo-yo to like cheese enemies, and I think that when we got me jungle items, right, is where the melee crowd control part really began to shine, because now with the grass blade, I could now hit multiple enemies at once, and I could do cleanup with the yo-yo, and with boomerangs, I think that was definitely like the turning point, where it was like, I have projectile now. I can actually kite enemies now. But I think that in terms of power, pre-hard mode, or in terms of pre-hell, I think melee is definitely the weakest class.
Definitely. Out of the three.
I mean, what do you think?
Yes.
Yes. I mean, anything to say about the melee class?
Well, I don't really know about the melee class since I've never really played it, I guess.
Right.
Because in my previous run, you know, the one where, five gold gun against High Elf Cthulhu.
Yeah.
I'm gonna ask you a question, Evan. How do you feel about summoning items?
Oh, actually, yeah.
Yeah, because you're playing as a hybrid, right? So you use both summons and mage weapons. Even though you mainly focus on mage, the weapon, how do the summon weapons feel like to you, and like, what do you think they act like?
Oh, for me, the summon weapons are really just sort of a set it and forget it weapon. If you die, you just spawn back in, you immediately go to your summon weapons, you get maybe a couple of minions out, and then you just go out through the rest of the day doing your own stuff while the minion attacks enemies for you occasionally on the side.
Right.
So they're basically a small help, but I don't really rely on anything, rely on them, because their damage output is really low compared to what I can do as a mage.
Right.
Yeah. I feel like in terms of summoner, I feel like it's also supposed to be versatile, because I know there were a lot of summoning weapons that like do both crowd control and single target.
Yeah, for
but
sure.
But like, in the end, it's just similar to mage, but instead of like dealing the damage, you have to like watch from afar and deal the damage.
The biggest thing though is I think pre-hell, not even pre-hard mode, but pre-hell, I think the summoner class is really weak, because you don't have access to like your imps, you don't have access to...
Summoner is the hardest class to play.
Right, so it's like...
In like pre-hard mode, because you have no way to get like the summoning weapons until you like hit the jungle.
Right,
because exactly. That's where you get your first viable weapon. And your actual first summoning weapon, which is a slime staff, is super rare, about 1 out of 1,000 drop chance, I think.
Right.
Even in the expert mode, we still didn't get it. And I have a lot of lucky players where I got it like... within pre-hard mode.
Oh yeah, actually on the previous playthrough, I actually got it from my first King Slime kill. Immediately dropped the slime staff.
It's really good, actually.
Yeah.
I think that talks about like all of us like pre-hell.
Now let's talk about experiences.
Well, actually no, like should we talk about post-hell first, or should we talk about more experiences like pre-hell, and then we'll move on to post-hell?
Let's do
experiences?
That. Yeah.
Okay, so experiences in pre-hell, I don't know, just favorite moments of, you know, pre-hell gameplay, or like...
Me screaming for help as I'm being chased by a giant skull demon thing.
The Eye of Cthulhu, that was a really sort of intense fight, because there's just really just this one big boss that's chasing everyone, and the moment you realize it's locked onto you, and you know you're not the tanky class, you just sort of have to run away.
And while I know for a fact it was like, after he like lost half his health, so he had to do his like special dash attack.
Yeah.
That was completely scary, because he made some weird demonic screeching, and two, extremely scary, because he's sass as hell and will literally shred you to pieces.
I remember the first time we fought King Slime, and it was targeted on me, and you guys were like in this sky with grappling hooks shooting it, and we were trying to make it to the arena. So I ran inside the NPC house,
and then
it shrunk, and it went inside the NPC house.
Yeah,
so it does that. Inside our small NPC house, being crushed to death by a giant slime.
I should have told you that King Slime can teleport to a player.
And I was just...
I should have told you that.
Oh, I was like, while trying to run to the arena, it's like, I know I'm the tanky class, but really, what am I supposed to do against that?
I'm pretty sure at this time we had like a bunch of like teleportation potions, right?
We did, yeah.
But wait, why didn't you teleport to us?
It's really hard to teleport to people when you're being, you know, sort of crushed alive.
Okay, I'm going to talk about my more annoying experiences in the dungeon.
Is that pre-hell? No, it's not, right?
That's pre-hell.
Oh, dungeon is pre-hell?
Yeah,
it's after Skeletron.
Oh, after Skeletron, okay.
Yeah. Every time I went to the dungeon, as a ranger, don't forget, I'm made for single targets, not for like a group of crowd control.
And dungeon is like...
Yeah. Nope. And immediately, an army of skeletons and floating skeleton heads came to me. While you guys were like out there like soloing by yourselves, like, and really good at that, I was like by myself. Everyone was trying to beat me up. I was hit by like a cursed skull, basically. And if you get hit by it, you have a chance to be cursed. Basically, you can't use any items.
Yeah, you can't even.
And if you have no way to use your weapons, and you have a bunch of enemies close to you, what do you do?
Dying. Run away.
You get, oh. Yeah, you die.
Oh, no. Die or run away, you know. I think that dungeon, I think that that's where, you know, mage and melee really shine. Because A, it's small enclosed spaces. So all of the enemies line up nicely for you. And then with mage weapons, you just pierce through all of them and they all die in like two or three hits. And with melee, you can just keep them away.
And meanwhile, I'm just here like,
oh god,
go away, go away. I'm literally shooting you with a gun, please die.
But yeah.
I feel like the most annoying thing about the dungeon is the traps, really.
Oh my god.
I mean, besides the floating skulls that go through walls, the traps.
Fire rings, little flails, and spikes.
Because at this point we had the Shields of Cthulhu, I think they're called.
Yes.
So we sometimes we can dash forwards.
Yeah.
The issue is when there's a spike attached to the wall and you can't see it because everything is dark and you just dash into the spikes.
Yeah, and that's Ouch. Never good. Or when you're by a wall and there are spikes behind you and then enemies start like
pushing
you into the wall. And you're just stuck in a loop between getting knocked back from the enemies and getting knocked back from the spikes.
And then you get crushed at that.
Yeah. Oh, you know, outside of dungeon, actually, I'm just going to take it away from dungeon. We can come back. But I remember that we had a lot of sticky dynamite at this point.
Oh no. You destroyed all the environment that we had.
And I remember that I was unofficially designated keeper of the sticky dynamite.
And you committed mass amounts of the property destruction.
Not only property destruction, but... me destruction as well.
Yeah, I remember too many times. I just see like the kill feed. It's just you that you, I just see you like.
Shinto's remains were splattered against the walls by sticky dynamite.
And this would happen multiple times over the course of a couple of minutes.
Did I mention that one time I almost blew up our house?
Wait, what?
Oh yes, I remember that. Okay, so I think that he was. You want to tell the story?
Okay, so Evan was not here for this.
I don't think I was there either.
No, you were there.
Oh, I was. Okay.
Yeah. So basically. You're, like, somewhat, like, AFK doing something.
Oh, I was eating, yeah.
Yeah. I was trying to, like, select a chest. I was, like, trying to draw something.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how. I pressed the wrong button, and I clicked a bomb.
Breaching.
So I threw a bomb inside her house by accident. I was trying to draw, like, a pile of them instead. Thankfully, though, I knew how to get out of this. Simply leave the game...
Right.
And since I was hosting, the server shuts down. That means all entities disappear and the world is saved. That means the bomb doesn't register and the house is not
in ruins. Right, I see. Okay, so it didn't blow up, which is good. But yeah, I think that, you know, I'm still keeper of the sticky dynamite. And, you know, I think that over the course of the game, I think I've gotten worse at it.
Yeah, I know for a fact you started dying a lot more near, like, pre-hell.
Yeah, like, right when we were about to enter hell, it was just, you know, every few seconds after I teleport to them and we're exploring, and those, and you two are, like, doing your own thing, and then suddenly the kill feed. Shinto's insides were removed by sticky dynamite.
And then you, like, go back to where you die and then throw another dynamite. Whoops. Exploded by dynamite.
Yeah, and it was just, God, but, yeah, pre-hell was a doozy, I think.
Also, you know? I remember you made a lot of bouncy dynamite, which you never used.
Oh, yeah. Bouncy dynamite. I have a funny story to tell about that when we talk about post-hell, but I never used it pre-hell because it was very chaotic. It's not good.
I know. Yeah. Why do you think no one uses bouncy bad. It will bounce towards you.
Yeah, bouncy dynamite, it's the worst thing. You throw it at somewhere, and then it bounces back, and then it bounces a few times, and then, like, you think you're safe, but then it bounces right on top of you, and you die instantly. But I don't know. Do you guys have anything else to tell about pre-hell?
Let's. I don't believe so. Unless we want to talk about all the times we like died a miserable death.
The what? Oh, died a miserable. I don't know. There are too many to count. We don't need to recount all of them.
Yeah.
A lot of embarrassing deaths too. Yeah.
Okay. So I think the last thing to address, pre-hell, favorite boss pre-hell. I've got to go with. Eye of Cthulhu, just because of how fun the boss fight is, because I think that if Eye of Cthulhu were turned into, like, a mid-game boss, like, post-hell in hard mode, and it's, like, we fought it, you know, not as the twins, but as, like, its default form, and it's, like, faster, has more health, I think Eye of Cthulhu fight is just super fun, and, you know, you don't need too big of an arena, and it's not overpowered in any way, but, you know, when you learn its attack patterns, it's easy to dodge. But at the same time, it's a really challenging and really fun boss fight. So that was my favorite boss pre-hell.
My favorite boss, pre-hard mode,
Pre-hell.
Skeletron. He's fun to dodge and play around with.
Right.
I mean, I would have chosen, like, either roles, but after, like, before, like, near the end of Pre-Hell, he's just a joke.
Yeah.
Like, you just have to, like, destroy all his segments, which is pretty easy.
Yeah.
If you, like, know how to, like, dodge.
Especially with the larger damage output.
Yeah.
I would also have to say my favorite boss is the Eye of Cthulhu, mainly because maybe it's just a quirk of progression, but I feel like after we've gotten Skeletron, dodging him was relatively simple. Because for the most of the fight, it was just running in a straight line and occasionally ducking down into a platform and running in the other direction.
Right.
While for the Eye of Cthulhu, it was a lot of, like, trying to jump over him or trying to, like, get under him so you don't jump off the arena.
Right, exactly.
And especially with that dash attack, it's really unpredictable. And occasionally, even if you do everything perfectly, it's still going to hit you.
Yeah, in phase two especially, you know, when it does, like, the six in a row. And I think that, you know, Eye of Cthulhu is just one of those bosses where it's, if you're not careful, you die, but if you are careful, you win, and it's something that's very rewarding. I can see an argument for the Destroyer, not the Destroyer.
Skeletron.
Skeletron as well. But the main reason why I didn't like fighting against Skeletron is because I could not hit it. For the love of God, you two were, like, kiting it away from the arena towards the air, and I'm here with my yo-yo, reaching for, like, one of
its
hands.
I mean, to be fair, you kept on trying to hit the head, which has, like, a large amount of defense to destroy that.
But also, it's like, you know how my job is to kite the bosses? Skeletron has got to be the one that is least fun to kite against. Like, Eater of Worlds, you know, you can kite against it. You don't really even need to kite Eater of Worlds because, you know, it, like, tangles itself up. But Skeletron, it's fast, it's big.
And it wants to hug you.
Yeah, and it has detachable appendages. Impossible to kite. And it was a good boss fight, but I think that
if you kited the hands, I'm pretty sure you would have had better experiences.
I tried to kite his hand. There are two, though. It's like I'm running away from one, and suddenly the other one just boom, and I die instantly, and it's horrible.
It's like you get yeet.
Yeah, you're running away from one side, and the other hand comes in from the other side, and then you're just like, nice.
Was Skeletron the one that shot lasers at you?
Yeah, he also shot lasers at you, which I was powerless against.
No, I mean, he didn't really shoot lasers, he just shot flaming skulls.
Wait, wasn't he the one that shot lasers?
Oh, no, you're thinking about something else.
Am I thinking of hard mode Skeletron?
Yes.
Damn. Alright, well, okay, so I think we've covered everything. Queen Bee is, like, relevant. We got, like, the B gun, which we never used.
Yeah. Not the bee!
Yeah, the bee armor, like, which we never used.
Yeah, Queen Bee was, like, really simple. It's just, like, it goes in a straight direction, and occasionally it floats above you.
Yeah, we lost to it the first time, because we never jumped when Jeremy told us to jump, but it was a pushover the second time.
Right? Yeah.
The only hard part about fighting Queen Bee is finding a hive.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think that covers pre-hell pretty well,
now, let's go to hell.
Yeah, okay, so, let's talk about the Hellevator.
Because
that was a pain to build.
That was another part of preparation that I mentioned earlier. Basically, hell will become like a important like resource that you need to go to like every once in a while.
Right, yeah.
Until like late hard mode.
Yeah.
So like you had to like make a Hellevator so you have easy access to hell instead of like taking longer time like going through your like mine.
Exactly. And so the Hellevator, so that was Evan and I's job, right? That was that was given to us, and I don't know, you want to start?
Okay, so Eric started building the Hellevator before I got there, and I dropped down the shaft, and the first thing I noticed was there was a lot of water. There was a lot of water.
Basically, remember, you guys flooded an ocean or something? I was never there for, like, the building to, like, near the end of the Hellevator.
Yeah, we would, okay, so, like, the story is, right, so around a quarter of the way down the Hellevator, we encounter a water source, and we're like, oh, this isn't too bad, and if it's just this much water, we can leave it at the bottom to cushion our fall. It wasn't just that much water. The lake sort of just drowned into the hole, and it was like, oh, so it's not that bad, so we kept going down. But, you know, in hindsight, we probably should have plugged the walls beforehand, right? Just to ensure that no other water got in. Turns out that lake was connected to an entire ocean system, and we basically flooded the underground.
Yeah, and by flood, I mean, like, entire caves were filled.
Like, you don't understand, like, okay, so in Terraria, right, the underground biomes, they exist, right? Cave systems, mushroom biomes, spider nests, all of that good stuff. completely waterlogged by the time we were done with that hell later. And, you know, how did we clear all of the water out?
I think that was
dump most... it all into hell.
Well, actually, it wasn't flowing into hell, which was the most annoying part.
Yeah. I think that was mostly your job. For me, I was just sort of, I continued to dig the elevator and maybe make a wall.
Yeah, plug walls, you know.
Yeah.
We cleared it with sticky dynamite, which is where my addiction started.
And why you kept on dying.
Yeah.
And also, I remember a lot of you guys kept on dying from fall damage as well.
Oh.
Yeah, we also pranked Evan. Eric and I also pranked Evan once, told him to stay to like the left.
Oh, no, like hug the right.
Oh, yeah, hug the right. And then he died on, like, one straight block that was, like, on
yeah,
the right.
Yeah, I magic mirrored back. I don't know if you noticed, but I magic mirrored back around halfway down the fall, and you just sort of...
This is so sad. I think I was using the slam at the time, so I had, like, double the fall speed. So I couldn't react.
Oh, by the way, there are key items in the game that allow you to, like, increase your mobility that you don't know, don't see at first. Slime mount, for example. And at first, you think you can use it to jump high, right? But then you see its second property that I abused a lot during pre-hard mode. Faster drop speed.
Yeah.
With a magic horseshoe, which allows me to take no fall damage, I can basically use the fall speed to dodge projectiles easier.
Yeah.
Because I fall faster, so I get out the way of projectiles quicker.
Wow, imagine having no fall damage.
I wonder how it feels, Jeremy.
You guys have, like... Now you guys don't take fall damage.
I mean, now, yeah, but back then, I had the slime mount, but I still did take fall damage.
Oh, I remember, yeah. I was, like... I hadn't used the slime mount because I actually had the turtle, right? So I was, like... Because there was so much water in the elevator, and my job was to clear out the water, I had to use the turtle in order to get around, right? And then when I cleared all the water out, I tried using the slime mount once to get down the elevator. And let me tell you right now, my reaction time was not fast enough. I was like, huh, we're falling. Oh, we're falling really fast. Huh, I wonder where we splat. And it was just, where did the ground come from?
Yeah, those are the funniest steps, not gonna lie.
And so I just, like, you know, I never used the slime mount again after that because I have permanent PTSD of falling into hell and just not knowing where I was, like, in terms of the elevator, and then suddenly just
deleted.
My face met the ground and I just instantly died. But yeah. Okay. So now...
We're in hell.
We are in hell. Okay. So this is where, like, hell, both in Terraria and in terms of gameplay, began. Okay, so
okay.
When we accessed hell, we sort of just didn't care about the other biomes because we had looted everything we could pre-hard mode from them, right?
Yeah.
We had the jungle swords. We had all the swords.
Except boots.
Oh, yeah, except boots also. We had all the swords needed for the Knight's Edge.
Wait, hang
except
on.
For the, what's it called? The fire one.
The spooky
great flame sword.
Yeah, we had.
I think we did have boots before
hell.
Yeah.
Well, we had rocket boots. I don't
believe we had Hermes boots. I believe we had like them like around halfway.
Yeah, maybe.
Before like we go into hard mode.
Yeah, but and then so it was like yeah.
So, and it was probably the reason why we beat the boss.
Yeah, so we were all like pretty geared up. We all had like the maximum like the best gear we could.
I think we maxed out our health, too.
Yeah, we maxed out our health. Evan maxed out his mana.
Very nice.
Yeah, we had the best gear possible before accessing hell. But little did we know, hell was literally going to be just, like, well, hell, I guess.
It was
yeah,
mostly building
platforms.
Yeah, you
guys died a lot. Either by lava or, like, random fire bats, demons.
Those hell bats are so small.
Dude,
I think I was the only one that didn't die that much in hell, and I died a lot.
Yeah, so it was like, okay, so, you know, in hell, our main goal was to A, get Hellstone, right, for armor, and B, build an arena for the Wall of Flesh. And,
Both were terrible.
Both were terrible experiences. So, Jeremy, your job was to get Hellstone as soon as we got
it. I did a lot of that by myself.
Yeah.
You guys
we were
building the arena.
Yeah, we were delegated to arena building. You want to tell us about the Hellstone grind?
Oh, God. You know how hard it is to take, like, a bunch of Hellbats by yourself with only a gun that can handle one person at a time? Yeah, it was difficult. But at least my gun did enough damage to, like, kill him in a few hits.
Yeah.
My only problem was... So far was lava, because Hellstone spawns near lava.
Yeah.
And I could handle enemies just fine because I knew how to like take care of them without taking that much damage, like demons.
Right.
They were a joke to me.
Yeah.
Unless I got stuck. Then in that case, I'm dead.
Yeah.
And So Eric decided to make a bunch of obsidian skin potions from like...
Just yeah. everything that we had. Because it doesn't require fish, obsidian skin.
Yeah.
And we had a lot of flowers. So.
I had a bunch of skinian skin. So I started to mine all the hellstone that I could find, like all the big chunks.
Right.
The problem was, I'm oblivious. So if I don't check my timer for like how long my obsidian skin potion lasts. So immediately, one time I was digging in the middle of lava, and then I started taking damage. I was like, uh-oh, gotta get out of here, and then I die.
Yeah.
And it happened like 10 times.
Yeah, just dying in lava. So we had the arena.
Yeah.
I helped you with the arena, like, near the end.
Near the end, but, like, the around... I think our arena in total was around 4,000 blocks.
Something like that.
And we had, like, the first 2,500, 3,000 by ourselves.
And there was that one time when the arena got erased.
Yeah, let me explain this. So, basically, my game froze in the middle of the game, and I couldn't, like, leave the game because I'm, you know, frozen. I can't.
Yeah.
So, I had to restart my computer. The problem is... The world didn't save.
Yeah.
So, like, our character saved, but, like, all the progress we made in the world didn't.
We were, like, 800 blocks in.
And then it got yeeted.
Just deleted.
In the map, I could see how far the arena had gotten, and I was slowly getting closer to health. The map started updating, and the arena just was gone.
Just gone. It wasn't there anymore, and it was, oh, God, we have to do this again.
Yeah, and we had to, because the world didn't save, but our characters did. So those resources, just gone.
Gone. But luckily, we destroyed most of the apartments in hell, so we had a lot of obsidian.
Yeah, and also we had a lot more torches and fire torch and stuff.
Yeah, which is really useful. Okay, so it's like, you know, when we started building the arena, you know, what were you expecting?
I don't know what I was expecting. I thought it was going to be like a regular arena building day, you know, lay some bricks, kill some bosses, you know, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
But then you get those tiny... Hellbats. They're called hellbats, and they are hellbats.
Oh, God. So his problem was the hellbats. I could deal with hellbats pretty easily because I'm meant for close combat, but the demons, they wouldn't even be on my screen when suddenly four purple sides would come hurtling at me full speed.
And deal, like, a lot of damage.
And they would deal, and we had 200 health, 400, no, 200, 400?
400.
400 health at the time, but we only had gold armor. So each side was doing, like, upwards of 40 damage. And we only had 400 health. So that means I could only take 10 hits from demons.
And that's excluding the hellbats.
That's excluding the hellbats.
And lava slimes.
Yeah.
And if you kill a lava slime, they destroy the platforms. Because do you want to know why? They spawn lava.
Yeah.
Unless we use, like, obsidian platforms.
They melt straight through the platforms.
Yeah.
I mean, that was easy to deal with. I mean, they only melted one or two platforms at a time, so you just had to plug it back up.
I remember we fought the Wall of Flesh a couple of times, like the first few times, and there was just this place, like the stairs that connected to the apartment, and there was a gap there, and I would always fall into that gap.
Oh, yeah, I saw that once.
And get caught.
And immediately got caught by, like, the Wall of Flesh, and immediately started dying.
Yeah, but it's like, Wall of Flesh is just a completely different, you know, story that we'll save for after this, you know, special episode, maybe... Longer than an hour this time. Very cool. But so it was like you know, during hell, the arena was just absolute, oh God. It was terrible to build.
Yeah.
The biggest thing I think about building that arena was that it was so long.
Yeah, you really need a long arena for like expert mode because you need to like have enough space to like walk past. Because don't forget, you have a giant wall of flesh. That means you can't go in one direction. You have to go in the other direction.
Yeah.
And if you don't have a platform to walk on, you're going to have to try maneuvering where there's a bunch of lava.
Yeah.
A bunch of walls, too.
Yeah, so that.
And we also had to do, demolish a bunch of demon apartment buildings in order to build the wall. And that was a lot of sticky dynamite.
That was a lot of sticky dynamite. I surprisingly didn't die as much during hell clearing than, elevator clearing with the ocean.
Probably because you had more room to go to.
Yeah, and I think, like, the biggest thing was the largest arena we had built up to that point was for Eater of Worlds, and that was roughly, like, 300 blocks. This was 4,000. I cannot...
Do note.
Yeah.
Do note. this is not the end of the game yet. We're like somewhat close near
the
end.
Oh yeah, this is like really. No, this isn't even near the end. This is like pre-mid game. This is right before mid game.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like 4,000 blocks. I can just to put that in perspective, right? The Eater World Arena, how long did that take us to build? Around 2 days? Not like two real life days. One real life day.
Yeah.
Right? Like one entire session. Like we played for like 4 or 5 hours at a time, right?
Yeah.
So it took all of the time to build and fight. And the Hell Arena was Evan and I, two people working on two layers of platforms at the same time, straight, basically, you know, with the exception of dying. And it took us almost like 4 days?
Yeah.
4 or 5 days?
It was a long time.
It was a long time. And I think that, like, the biggest thing was it was just tedious to build.
Just wait. By the next time we record that second part, you would have, like, had a long time building another arena that was twice, probably. How about, let's just say, worldwide.
Sorry?
Oh, worldwide arena by the time we by the time next time by the time we record the second part, we have to build like arena
right
worldwide.
Okay. Right.
Does the boss that requires this arena happen to start with Moon and end with Lord?
Yes. Well, and we're going to die.
Well, that's part two. But you know, okay, so it's like, you know, the arena, collecting Hellstone, all of that's good and fair, but let's go back to power scaling. Which was, I think that as soon as we entered Hell, all of us underwent a huge change in the in power scaling.
Yes. So I got a new weapon, a new bow.
Let's let Evan start again, because he started pre-Hell, and you know, now we're post-Hell and pre-Hard mode.
Let's see. So I think, well, the only really magic weapon that I remember was getting the Tome of Scythe thing, where basically, it's basically what the demons use. It's very slow, but it's useful for when you're trying to ward off enemies, so you can just sort of create a wall of scythes around you, and it stays there for a second. So especially useful for Hellbats, you know?
Yeah.
And also got a new summoning weapon, the Imp Staff, so that's pretty nice. Sets things on fire. I mean, when you're in Hell, that's not really a thing not to worry about. But otherwise, that would make the experience slightly less frustrating, but... not by that much.
Right, but like you got your first tome, right, when we entered Hell.
Yeah, that was the demon tome.
And I remember you also got a fire flower.
Oh yes, I never used that thing.
Yeah, that was useless.
But did you use the water staff?
I'm dying. But no, the water staff. I think we had that, was it before Hell or after Hell?
Before Hell.
Yeah, we had that before Hell. I was mainly sticking with my meteor gun, I think up until now, because, you know, infinite mana, it's right. Kind of nice.
Yeah.
So the water staff was for the Wall of Flesh, because it, I think it was relatively slow projectiles, and it did piercing.
But it did a lot of damage.
Yeah.
And so it was like, your power scaling, you know, at the beginning, the mage is very weak. But then once you defeat Skeletron and access the dungeon, your power grows, like, exponentially. You know, I think that right after Skeletron, you suddenly become a damage-oriented class. And then once you're in Hell, I think you also become a CC class, right?
I suppose for the sides, yeah. Everything basically that does piercing and also maybe has a wide-ish projectiles, you can use that to crowd control.
Right.
All
right,
I'll go next because mine was like also a minor change. sorry, to clear my throat.
It's okay.
I remember during the dungeon, I managed to get this one thing called a magnum. I forgot what it was called, but it was like an eagle-looking like gun. By the time we got to Hell, I was able to upgrade it to a Phoenix Blaster. So basically, it's just a stronger gun. And I'm pretty sure it did a lot more damage than my Mini Shark. So I replaced my Mini Shark with my Phoenix Blaster, because now it did more damage.
Right, I see.
And my second new ranged weapon was a new Hell bow.
Right.
Yeah, it did like fire arrow and turned my regular arrows to fire arrows, which is pretty good. And it did a lot of damage too.
Right, I see.
About 48.
That's really cool. And I think
I have
the biggest change.
Yes.
But first, we are going to really quickly let's talk about like, or those are the only new weapons you got?
Yeah.
Okay, so it's like on a graph, right? So it's like him, his power just grows. It just never stops growing. Because I think Mage, I love I'm playing a solo playthrough of Thorium right now, which is modded Terraria, and I'm classing as a mage because I think that in vanilla Terraria and even modded Terraria, mages are the most versatile.
Yeah, it's an incredible versatility. I mean, you have your homing weapons. I don't use homing weapons. They kind of suck, I have to be honest.
Technically it's a homing weapon, but you have to aim it. Think of it as like a target-seeking missile.
Yeah, you have those weapons that follow your cursor, which deal high damage per hit, but, you know, are generally very slow and mana-consuming. You have those that, you know, again, high rate of fire. It's just, you can deal with basically any situation.
Exactly. And I think, are there close-range magic weapons? Do you have any?
You can make close-range magic weapons by getting close to your enemy and shooting them in the face.
That's true.
Fair. That's fair. I think that, yeah, mage is just super well-equipped to deal with anything. You know, being surrounded by enemies, use a piercing projectile. Need to deal with a long-range threat? Meteor gun. Need to just deal consistent damage to an enemy while running away, while on a large platform that's around 4,000 blocks long?
Waterfall.
Use your cursor-following projectile.
Well, the cursor-following projectiles is really for shooting around corners, I think.
Okay.
The water bolt was really useful for that fight, though.
Yeah. And then, so, yeah, it's like mage is just super versatile, and your power never stops growing, because especially, you know, in our next episode when we talk about hard mode, we can talk about the stuff that you got in hard mode and how that impacted, you know, your growth curve. But, I mean, ranger, right? So you were, like, you started high, but then you sort of went down after Eater of Worlds. So it's like, Now we're in hell, you know. Where do you think your power lies?
Somewhat. I think I just finally balanced out with everyone. Because, like, I started off pretty strong and I got weaker. So now I was, like, the same, like, amount of, like, usefulness as, like, everyone else.
I see.
I'm still going to take credit for dealing most damage to Wall of Flesh, though.
All right, then. I guess I'll talk about melee now. Okay, so melee, right? The biggest thing I think about melee during hell was that I got a huge power spike.
Definitely. You started off really low and then you just immediately shot up.
Well, no, because I think it's like, I start off low, right? And then there's post-Eye of Cthulhu.
Yeah,
pre-Eye, I'm weak. I'm the weakest class. Post-Eye and pre-Destroyer, I'm...
Not pre-Destroyer.
Pre-Skeletron. I'm a very crowd-control-oriented class and tanky class. Post-Skeletron and pre-Hell is where, you know, you start to see damage coming out, but you're still the tank. You're still the kiting class. And then once you get into Hell and you get all the armor and then you finally get your Hellstone, your Fiery Greatsword, and you make your Knight's Edge, that's when, you know, I think the melee class starts to shine.
And don't forget the other, like, melee weapons from Hell. You have the Dark Lance, which is super useful.
Exactly.
You also have your, like, Flame Ring. You can finally use your, like, projectile again.
Yeah. The, what's it called? The Cascade.
Cascade. That was a stronger yo-yo than Amazon. I've completely forgot about that. I just always thought that Amazon was good because, like, it's easy to get.
Yes, Cascade is very good.
Yeah, I think Jeremy thought the Cascade was a hard mode weapon.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I just saw it lying on the floor in Hell.
Huh, nice.
Or maybe, I don't know, was it
you Hell? You learn something new every day.
It was somewhere, but yeah, it was just laying on the floor. And it's like, hey, this is the Cascade, right?
But yeah, I think that I immediately became a lot more versatile as a class. Because, Jeremy, you were still, like, a single-target class, right?
Yeah.
As Ranger. You don't really become, like, a multi-target until hard mode, right?
Yeah, I'm technically still single-target.
I mean, then you get your arrow rain and stuff, but that's, like, that's for another time.
Yeah.
I think that I still can't match Evan's versatility as a mage.
Yeah, but now you're, like, a super tanky damage dealer.
Yeah, I definitely think that, how many times did we die to Wall of Flesh?
A lot. God.
We'll talk about that later, but it's like, as a melee class, I now had a sword that could deal damage, which didn't really change before. The grass blade was really good anyways. I had a lance now, which means I could cheese enemies through walls. I had my flamerang, which was of even farther, harder hitting projectile. I had my yo-yo, the Cascade.
Fire
yo-yo. Which was like, did that one have infinite... deploy time?
No,
not yet. Okay,
yeah, that's like late hard mode.
It was very no. We have unlimited deploy time yo-yos in early hard mode. I have one.
No, that's not a no. It's still a limited time.
No, the dev yo-yo.
Wait, really?
Yeah.
I think it does have a deploy time.
No, it's infinite. But we'll talk about that in another episode.
I mean, technically, some late yo-yos have, like, infinite deploy time, so that's, like, really late game. Like, early game yo-yos, they have a long, long deploy time, but not really that infinite.
I guess so. And then, I think that, let's see. Oh, yo-yos, let's see. I think the Cascade, right, is the last pre-hard mode one?
Yeah. See, is there a...
Types, like a I'm assuming. I'm assuming. Yeah, we're searching this up right now.
Okay.
Look up the Cascade.
Cascade is a 16 seconds.
And then what about the, let me see. What is my yo-yo called?
Oh,
the Code 2?
Oh, no, your new yo-yo is now the Yelitz.
Oh, the Yelitz.
It's 14 seconds. Wait, Code 2 is infinite?
Huh. Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't know that, but like...
Yeah, but yeah, cool. Anyways. But,
Oh, wait, no, never mind.
Come back.
Hang on. You had Valkyrie, right?
No, I had the Code 2. I never got a Valkyrie.
No, like the dev yo-yo that I got from the treasure
belt. Oh, yes, I have a Valkyrie.
Oh, yeah, it does have infinite deploy time. Yeah, I never knew that.
But yeah, anyways.
Because I never use them.
Yeah, yo-yos, but also I had a new weapon. I had a flail. And, okay, so it's like, to those of you who have no idea what a flail is, you know a lot about Dark Souls, right? You play Dark Souls?
As far as I know, it's a big metal ball attached to a stick.
That's a mace.
Oh, no. Wait, is it a big metal ball attached to a chain?
Yes.
That's a flail.
That is, in fact, a flail.
And so Hell gives you your first flail, and with the flail, what I could do now was I could kite enemies effectively. Because what the flail does is stays out for a very long time, and it does more damage than the yo-yo. So I can now effectively kite enemies, not that it mattered much for the wall of flesh, but I can now effectively kite enemies and deal consistent damage without having to worry about getting eaten alive.
I mean, technically, your first flail was the blue moon. Or was it the ball of hurt?
Ball of hurt.
Yeah. But now, yeah, but they're like, your flail, the sun fury, the flail that Eric got, was 10 times better than both of them combined.
Yeah, and I think that, you know, this, we were all like, it's time. We now fight Wall of Flesh. Oh, we were not ready. It was not time to fight Wall of Flesh.
We got to the end of the arena. I took us
like
times.
5 tries, right?
No, yeah. More than 5, like 7 or 8. Because I remember like the first 4 times you cheesed us twice and I cheesed us twice. Where we just dropped it in when we were still building arena.
Oh, how many times the poor guide died.
Oh god, it was, yeah, you have to sacrifice your guide. And so at first our arena was how long? Around 2,000? 1,500?
Something like that.
Yeah.
It was significantly shorter than our final one. And the first time we fought Wall of Flesh, we took down less than an eighth of its health. And we reached the end of the arena. The second time, the same thing happened. The third time, we were like, okay, the arena has to be longer. And so we extended the arena.
I feel like we did even less health that time.
We did even less damage, right?
Yeah, but I don't know why we did less. I think it was all because we shot the mouth instead of the eyes.
Oh.
Yeah, Jeremy gave me a tip that was really more obvious, should have been more obvious in hindsight. Shoot for the big fleshy eyes and not the big teethy mouth.
Me too. I was like, I wasn't even aiming for the eyes. I was aiming for the body.
I don't notice that. So I only know
how which like does the least damage, but it does damage to all three eyes, and that's just useless as a melee class. And I think that like your jobs were to target the eyes, and my jobs were to clear out the little eyeballs.
Not the eyeballs, but like the weird flesh nibbly things.
The hungry, that's what they're called. And then, so, you know, that was a struggle. And then we realized our arena was too short. So it's like, oh, you know what? We're going to extend it. So we extended it 500 blocks. It was now like 2,500, 3,000. We didn't win again.
And I think it was on the final try, like eighth. And we finally succeeded. We used a bunch of buff potions.
Yeah, almost every buff potion we had.
The final fight was almost laughably easy. We didn't even get through like half the arena before it died.
Which makes us question, what the hell did we do wrong?
Exactly.
You know what I did that time? Instead, when the hungry disappeared, instead of wildly swinging at nothing, I quick switched to my yo-yo and I just kept it on one of the eyes.
Yeah, you should. There's a reason why I told you that the yo-yo is the best weapon in the game.
I didn't.
They literally help you that much.
I didn't realize that I was swinging at nothing when I killed all the hungry. So in all of our previous fights, I was just doing nothing and swinging at like the air.
Wait, so that's what went wrong?
I think so.
Oh my god.
Also, I think what was much better was our coordination also. That last fight, we all targeted like the same eye at the same time.
This is nice. This was very nice.
It was very spicy, you know? Wall of Flesh was definitely like so fun at the end. Well, no, it was not fun to fight against at all. It's a bullshit boss that does not deserve to exist.
But hey, at least we can teabag its corpse at the end.
Well, its corpse explodes when it dies.
Yeah, that's true. I actually remember after the first fight, did we take it down again?
Yeah, I think one more time after that.
And we didn't even use buff potions, so it was easy.
Yeah, really easy.
Which was like, you know... Oh, and I actually took most of the damage during our final fight. Before, it was like the damage was spread out over everyone, and it was like you guys were at like 200, I was like at 180, and it was just horrible. But I think for the last fight, both of your health were like pretty high, like 350 to 400.
Mm-hmm. Also, I would just like to say, as a mage, mana regeneration potions are amazing. Like, because with regular mana potions, they just refill your mana. With mana regeneration potions, they stay active for 7 minutes, and your mana bar just instantly refills in like five seconds. It's amazing.
Yeah, so, you know, our highest damage dealer, I think, you know, post Skeletron, which was Evan, our mage, he didn't have to worry about mana consumption. He could just focus on, oh, which weapon is good for this? You know, what am I taking care of? Where do I have to aim? And then Jeremy calling all the shots was pretty good. Like, I don't...
Yeah, but still,
I don't understand how he was dodging everything and also hitting eyes and telling us what to do at the same time.
I was, like, really far back, just aiming for the eye. That's why.
Yeah, and then I was up right by the eyes, you know, kiting the lasers and stuff. And
the lasers...
taking care of the hungry before they could reach
you. The lasers become, like, a joke the further away you are, because you can easily dodge them.
Yeah, and so it's like Wall of Flesh was definitely our biggest achievement. And Wall of Flesh was really fun. So, you know, after all of the Hellstone armor and, you know, before fighting Wall of Flesh, where do our power levels lie? You know?
But I would say that we're both even. We're all even in terms of power.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think that what defined us as classes more than power is more what you did.
Yeah, I guess your role.
Right.
Yeah, because, you know, one person stays up close and whacks things, one person stays at the back and shoots things, and one person just does whatever based on what the situation needs.
Yeah, you know, well, like, predominantly crowd control for the Wall of Flesh fight.
It's like, should I hit this one guy, or should I hit these many people?
Right, and, you know, mage especially with the versatility in, like, you could use your Demon Scythe Tome, or you could use your Water Staff, or you could use your Meteor Gun. With the Ranger, you could choose to use your bows, your guns, you know. And the melee class with, I think, the most options, but, like, the least variance in, like, what he can do. You know, you have access to a sword that kills the hungry and a yo-yo that, you know, is meant for long-range fighting. So I think that, you know, that was our pre-hard mode story, right?
Yep.
That's all of it?
Yeah, and right now we're in the middle of our hard mode story. We'll tell you more about it in our next part, but let's just say right now, holy hell.
It's so hard. It's so bad.
So I think we're planning it to tell that story after we beat the game.
Yes.
Which could be in a week, which could be in 2 weeks. You might not hear from us for 6 months, and we'll just do other episodes in between.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It all depends, especially with the SAT coming up. You know, for those of you listening who are taking the SAT, good luck. For those of you who are listening and are, you know, not taking the SAT, you know, still good luck. You know, just with your life, I guess.
Imagine playing Terraria and not studying for the SATs. Yeah.
Which is luckily what we're not doing.
Definitely. Yes.
We'll probably give you guys an episode not related to Terraria next week, considering the fact that we the next time we record is just after the SAT, so we haven't, like, played yet.
Yeah, watch out for an episode from us next week where we'll be talking about... I want to really talk about, music... in video games, but, you know, we'll discuss that over this week, and we'll release the episode next week. Let's just talk a bit about post Wall of Flesh.
All right.
Post Wall of Flesh, right? Let's just talk about, what were your immediate impressions of hard mode? Like,
I knew what was going, so I'm going to ask you.
Well, you knew, but, like, you know.
Yeah.
I think the first thing I remember is Jeremy suddenly telling everyone to go down to hell and start killing stuff to get souls.
Ah, yes.
There's a new hard mode mechanic. You now have to do farming.
I remember breaking demon altars with that nice holy hammer that I got, and then blessing our world with multiple ores. It was very exciting.
But, and overall, we just redid like what we did in like pre-hard mode, yeah, like the start of it.
The thing that stuck with me the most from pre-hard mode to hard mode is that I went from enemies went from dealing little to no damage to me, because A, I'm the tanky class, and you know, B, I had the Hellstone armor, which gave me the best defense. Slimes went from dealing 1 damage to 20 damage. Spiders went from dealing like 12 damage to 40 damage, and everything was just, I was like, oh god, this is like the beginning of expert mode. And you know, I think that this is where that concludes our story.
Yeah, just know for a fact, after we killed Wall of Flesh, everything went on steroids, and now we're dealing with the same thing again.
Everything changed when the Fire Nation attacked.
We said that
maybe
already.
Not Fire Nation, but everything changed when the mechanical bosses attacked.
That, yes, very cool. Okay, so you know, anything you guys want to say? Anything?
And then we fought God.
Not yet. Soon.
Soon.
But you know, anything else you guys want to say before we leave our listeners?
No, I don't think so. No,
I do.
Oh, you do. Okay.
Go try out Terraria for yourself. It's like on sales, it's relatively cheap, and on. The same story, it's about like $15 when on sale. Worth the money, great experience. And even more better with mods.
Also, please don't start on medium core. Please don't.
And don't start on expert. But I think the biggest thing about Terraria is that, you know, Evan and I hadn't touched Terraria for like a very long time. But then, you know, playing with friends, I think. The magic of friendship and stuff. No, but like seriously, video games are so much better when you share them with people who also love video games, and especially when they're your close friends. And you know, I think that Terraria and just video games in general, but you know, for this episode our topic is Terraria has the power to bring you closer, you know, as human beings. And I think that that's what we addressed in our first episode about the beauty of video games and why we play them, and I think that's something that's concurrent with this episode. So yeah, I guess that's the end of it. Today we have a longer episode than normal since it's a special. We've gone from our normal 50-minute episode to around an hour and 15 minutes, an hour and 20 minutes. So, you know, we hope you guys enjoyed.
Definitely.
Do I do the ending?
Doing the ending.
Let's do the ending.
All right,
ready, Evan?
No. Goodbye. My name is Evan.
My name is Jeremy.
My name is Eric.
And we'll see you at the next episode, I guess?
Yeah, Three Scars Gaming.
Yeah.
Say thank you for listening.
Oh, yes, that. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, all right.
Until next time, adieu.
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 Adieu. I can't speak French, even though I take French classes.
Oh, no.